comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hi, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, where we bring you interdimensional communication between our world and the spirit world. This week's show is going to be about idea and environments again, and we're going to be continuing our discussion about the mind, body, and spirit in the forefront of our minds when we are actually organizing our home, even building our home, what we put in it, what we put in ourselves when we're in it, and lots of things to do with this, incorporating the holistic point of view. So anyway, I'd like you to join us with a question relating to our subject, and the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The free phone number is, it's a free phone in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
And international callers, are we going to take
Well, they might actually
callers?
Be
mad enough to be. Well, they might be mad enough to be awake, of course. Not saying that insomniacs are mad, is it?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, if you are an international caller, you are welcome to, and it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. I'd just like to mention that as well as Spirit Works. Spirit Works, yes. The show, we're on now. We are across the divide between the physical world and the spirit world. And we discuss all kinds of things, not only metaphysical, but also normal everyday situations that affect us all. We also have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on artistfirst.com. Anyway, I'm a deep trance medium, just as well, really, because I'm talking absolute rubbish here. I am a deep trance medium, and live on the show, I channel our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay. When I'm in trance, I don't have any awareness of what's going on. But with the help of the spirit world, I have developed a kind of a method of being able to have an instant out-of-body experience, which enables me to lend my body to the spirit communicator to use in a very pure way. It is pretty weird, really, I suppose.
Yeah. I think we can say
I just kind of like have this lights out minute and then that's all that I know about until they bring me back again. I mean, sometimes I know kind of a bit about where I've been. It's not like shamanism, really, where you actually do the whole bit about going somewhere and coming back. I don't actually do that.
Okay.
So there you go. I've done now.
Mick's going to go off and do that now because he's delirious already. Sometimes spirit world get rather close before, the time is ready, and he actually starts gibbering nonsense because the energy sort of overtakes him.
Yeah. Oh, that's me.
But his spirit and his consciousness are taken to the spirit world, and he won't know anything that has happened until he comes back into his body at the end of the show. Very shortly, Gregory will be joining us, and he's the spokesperson for an enlightened group of spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they're called the White Cloud Group because of White Cloud, who is the shining one of the group, and he has brought together many great minds to form this educational collection of people or energies so that we can have access to as much knowledge and information that we need to know in order to benefit ourselves, our Earth, and everyone upon it. And, basically, they've come with a mission, if they like, and we've made it our mission, and I know that you, a lot of you out there, caring, lovely people that listen to BBS Radio, have made it your mission as well to share your knowledge and to help the planet and each other in the hope that we can become more aware of the difference that we can make to our world. So, again, if you would like to know more about us, go to our website, and that is www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also on Second Life this Sunday At the Mystic Academy at the New Oracle Temple. So do join us there if you've not joined Second Life yet, and you're a bit confused about exactly how it goes, then you get in touch and we'll put you in touch with somebody that can help you to navigate your way around. It all seems a bit, if you're not that computer literate, then like me, then it's helpful for somebody to lead you around. But it's actually not that difficult once you get into it. We do Akashic readings. Gregory does wonderful Akashic readings, and you can find out about those on our website as well. Don't forget, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's here. Hello, Gregory.
With love and diet, and peace be upon you, my dear friend.
Thank you. Peace. That's what we want, peace.
Yes.
Okay. So this week, we're going to be continuing our discussion about reducing our, not only reducing our footprint on the planet, but really about the spirit being in harmony with the universe within every aspect of our life, and how we can achieve this to do with where we live, how we set up home, what we have in our home.
Yes.
We've gone from what the things that we put in our body to the things that we put in our house. To make it integral to enhancing our spirit's journey, really.
Yes, absolutely so.
So this week we thought we'd continue our situation about basically designing the type of house, really, the home, the shape of the home, why... Last week we touched on Rudolf Steiner, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. We talked a lot about colour.
Yes.
Didn't we?
Yes.
And also about the shapes and about how we should try to take corners out of our room or maybe mask them and that sort of thing.
Yes,
And this is actually for a specific reason, isn't it?
Yes, it is extremely beneficial to yourself, not just to your physical self, but in an ergonomic way. But actually, if you look at this situation, what you are really trying to do is to fully entice your spirit, your beautiful spirit, into alignment with your physical body. Many people have a kind of a situation where they think that automatically, just because you're having a physical life, that even if you do regard your spirit, that your spirit is already in perfect alignment with it.
Mm.
It isn't necessarily the case. There may well have been situations at or around your birth, or maybe even purely and simply to do with the registry of the different vibrational fields between the spirit world and the physical world, meaning that your spirit is not fully enhanced or in sync with your physical state. This can then mean that at times it means that you have great failures of concentration, or perhaps it is that you even have great bouts of sickness, purely and simply because of the registry is disproportionate from one side of life to the other. And oftentimes it can be that by changing certain situations of your home state, the actual physical place that you live in can often help to enhance your spirit's journey in your physical state. So we're not just talking about how you interact with people, as though that may be bad enough or good enough, depending upon the kind of life that you lead. What then can you imagine could be the case of if you are extremely negative or insular in some way, being created by some negative state, that you actually feel? The reason why you feel so ill is in part not just because of your the state of mind you are in at the time, but also because by your plummeting energy, it also means to say you are out of alignment, shall we say, with your beautiful, pure spirit. Because your spirit is all vibrant and doing one thing, and your physical state is being much maligned with this negative energy, which creates a negative empath and then changes the vibration at and frequency at which further and further away from your spirit. So then difficulties arise purely through this parity. It brings about, as I say, sickness. It brings about dis-ease. That's what dis-ease is.
So presumably then, when you are at home, if this sort of thing is happening in your everyday life, through work,
yes,
through whatever, through the area that you live in, and your integration in the world, what? So your home is of paramount importance to getting you back into alignment, basically.
Yes,
it has a job to
so.
Do, doesn't it?
That is true. And let me just say, I'm not suggesting here that all disease is purely attributable to this. Obviously, there are states of illness which arise from the different energies present in the physical state. There may well be significant changes in the cell structure or something like that, which actually bring about dis-ease.
But
that's through different organic compounds.
It gives you a fighting chance, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It helps you to fight dis-ease if you bring about this kind of situation into perfect alignment. Many people there are who exist upon the physical planet, especially at this present time, was different in my day when we didn't have electricity and things like that, and when we didn't even have certain other facets of physical life that you have now, using radio waves constantly in the way that you do, and in the situation of using and harboring energy the way that you do, as a physical life journey, obviously brings about its complications. When I walked upon the physical planet, things were much simpler. That doesn't mean to say that we were thick or anything like that, or that we lacked intelligence.
Well, no, and you didn't mix with each other so much, did you? I mean,
no, indeed not.
You know, all the corners of even one state coming together to work in the main city or whatever every day, and then going back home again at night. And
yes,
it's just one example.
True enough, and in point of fact, actually, when I was upon the physical side of life, the Industrial Revolution had only, in a sense, began creeping into the situation. Most people still worked at home.
Is there a situation, or a sickness rather, that we could put down to our spirit not being in alignment?
Well, there are certain forms of situation which are not helped by it. Autism, for example, is a state whereby you need to actually try to encourage the spirit alignment within the physical state. This means to say that the introduction of sound, of color in a very specific way, has a very great effect upon the spirit and the alignment of the physical being. Oftentimes, many people suffer a form of difficulty, perhaps being... sometimes they feel that they are actually seeing the physical world, but it's not quite joined up, in a sense, so that they actually may actually feel and see and sense certain other energies far more clearly than they do the physical world. And this can be actually quite upsetting, just because they don't know, cannot actually measure or commensurate what energy is coming from where, you see?
Oh, really? Well, they can see spirit, you mean?
Well, spirit or other dimensions. It's not necessarily the spirit world. It may well be other dimensions that they are in interacting with, you see? Yes.
Absolutely, I can see that, but I'm amazed that, and I find that totally fascinating, that that can be through that situation.
Well, yes, quite so.
So it doesn't mean to say that they're born like that. That can happen through through just situations in their life.
Oh, yes.
They've become misaligned in that way.
Yes, quite so, and intensive negative situations can do that. That about.
But presumably they would be put on medication, wouldn't they? And it would be called, what would that
Anistic.
Be called?
Hmm? Yes.
What would we call that in the medical trade here? I mean, that wouldn't be termed as that, would it?
No, quite so. It usually tends to be that the child is suffering from some kind of psychotic situation, or that it is usually an attention deficit or something like that. Actually, most attention deficit is usually because of a single ability to focus on one thing, but it's not the thing that you want that person to focus on. And oftentimes it can be brought about or a derivative from cell malfunction too, and that can be something which brings it about. But that is purely and merely a trigger mechanism. And oftentimes what you have are certain situations which come about which then really, in a sense, alienates that person. It's really to do with the concepts and thinking that other people have round about to do with that person. So, for example, a person who actually has certain faculties, you tend to call them that they are suffering from some kind of autism or whatever, or, as I say, attention deficit. It's not actually that at all. They are extremely focused, but not on the thing that you want them to be.
Well, a lot of the time they would just be put on medication of some sort. That's the thing.
Yes,
but
that's actually only purely and simply because they cannot cope with the normal, everyday, rational, physical world.
Well, I'm not surprised, because it's a bit like living on a different planet, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So,
but in context with what we're talking about here,
we need to encourage them to have full alignment. That is the best that we can do in having a physical life, that helps from the spirit world to your side of life. This helping to bring into alignment by changing the actual contours of the physical world so that their living space is something which is much more harmonic, you see, is able to reflect upon the spirit, and so that the spirit feels more inclined to be completely within the registry. You're really encouraging their spirit to become much more reflective. Therefore, you use their autistic situation, which is their single-mindedness, and you use it, you help them to focus it in such a way as it becomes useful both to them, themselves, and to others. Necessarily, this is something which is really, really sorely needed, purely and simply because without it, you are wasting so many lives, you see. So you need to be able to use it as a form of bridge to the communication for these people to be able to fully communicate with the world around them, partly because they're in different worlds. And that's the point, really. They are actually immersed in different worlds. What you're trying to do is to encourage them to take part in your physical world. The physical body is present, but the consciousness is not necessarily. And it may well be that just parts of its function are present within the physical world, but that other parts are deeply resigned within other states and understandings, you see.
Well,
and that's really how you have to look at it.
Okay, so I'm sure this is very helpful to people that have children, not necessarily diagnosed as being, you know, like I say, autistic or anything like that.
Yes.
And there are plenty of attention deficits and variations on that.
Of course, many different variations.
Absolutely. So, okay, so it's a sort of a hands-off approach to curing this then, isn't it?
In a sense, and I'm not detracting at all from the actual possibility of direct connectivities which are at fault here, within the physical brain, I'm saying. The various synapses which need to be connected in order for straight rational thinking, for example, need to be there connected. It may well be that you have to encourage this through various fields. This is about learning differently. You cannot take it that this person is going to learn in a rational way that all other human beings learn. Part of the problem with the whole situation of coping mechanisms to do with autism is that people try to force them into actually relating in an everyday physical language. for example, where in actual fact they may not even talk in your language. It may be that they actually have a language structure which is completely different. And that's simply because it's echoing the structure of language that half of their consciousness is set in, because it's in a different dimension. They may talk in a completely different language. It's part of the reason why you may well find that if there are situations or states of consciousness whereby in one particular family you have two children from who are perhaps maybe even both slightly autistic or maybe even deeply autistic, they may well have had a completely different language structure ulterior to the physical world, something that the physical world has never even heard of or cannot even decipher. It's purely and simply because they are immersed within a different dimensional field. That is, their spirit is, and their part of their consciousness is as well. And what you have to do as a physical being in the physical plane of Earth is actually to encourage them to interact more within the physical world. You're never going to get the whole thing. You're never going to get the complete package, because there's always going to be a situation of part of them being in a different dimensional field and state. So you have to understand that that's a fact and work with it, rather than understanding or trying to force them into your way of thinking, into the whatever is normal in your world. And I have to say, friend, that every time we observe the human state, we understand that the division of what is normal appears to be the aggregate of the sum total of what that person thinks in any event. It's nothing to say that if you look at one human being, that that human being is a normal or typical motivation of the whole of humanity. It just doesn't exist, does it?
Yeah. So we're talking about twinning, aren't we? Twinning the spirit back into the physical body.
Yes.
With what is going on actually now in the physical world.
Yes.
And we're not saying that this does that you, anybody stops medication or anything like that.
I'm not suggesting that.
No. It just but it complements other things that you might be doing. It can't do any harm. That's the main thing to understand, isn't it?
Yes.
That we're talking about the environment that we put people in. It's absolutely incredible the way that these situations do affect us so badly.
Absolutely.
I mean, and this is obviously an extreme situation that we're talking about, but it's cases in point, I'm sure, for many people who are listening.
Yes, and it comes up more prevalently at this time now, purely and simply, that there are many more people who suffer in this way, pro rata to the population, if you are talking about out of every 1,000 people or something like that, the situation is more prominent in your time of life now than it has ever been, really.
Oh, hello. Have we a caller?
Yes. Hi, this is John from Indiana. Hi, Sophie.
Oh, hello, John.
Hello, my dear friend.
My question is, to me it sounds like we're painting a picture that autism is a strong sense of being, but it can't express itself through its physical body in a way that most others can understand. Is that correct?
That is quite true.
Yep.
Yes. Hello. Can you continue, Fred?
Hello, John.
Yes. And so when an autistic person starts becoming more able to express themselves, is that a feeling of liberation?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, particularly then if you have a situation where they are actually understood, remembering, of course, that autistic children usually have a central focus. It may be in something which is completely off the wall as far as you are concerned in so describing it. It may be perhaps that they actually have a focus, shall we say, on one single thing. Now, maybe that one single thing is actually beneficial to you as a humanitarian situation or state. So, for example, that person may be, let's see, maybe they have a particular understanding of architecture. Maybe it's of a house. maybe it's on housing in general. Maybe they are actually able to look at a house for 3 seconds and remember every single detail of it. Perhaps that photographic memory is something which then is enhanced in the physical life. And that not only do they remember every single part of it, but that they remember every single room, the whole structure of the house, whether it's actually in a structure that's in a good state or not. And people can just sometimes, if they have that kind of condition, are able to just take something completely normal and average to a physical walk of life, but something that you would actually have to learn through very, very many different cycles of learning in order to create that knowledge, that it's just there, completely intact, right from the very beginning. It may well be, for example, that a child is absolutely, they may call it child genius or something like that. And it's purely and simply, sometimes it can be because of this situation. Other times it can be that this is something of a memory which is brought through from the spirit world and not from some previous life journey, as it were, as is so often referred, but actually from the spirit's continuing life as it continues to revolve and evolve in the spirit world. And so that is just something which is brought through, you see?
Yes, thank you. That's a very good answer. But Gregory, could I ask, I think it's a popular notion that most of us, our basic drive is for preservation, survival.
Yes.
But is there a focus that autistics have in general? Because it's probably not for survival, you know. It seems like there's, whether it's to develop their memories or, I'm not sure, but is there another universal focus that these, you know, that these special people have?
Yes, well, of course, it is actually a part of the memory situation, which generally tends to then be utilized or not. It's not something which is present every time, I have to say. Sometimes you actually have to be able to teach an autistic child to remember the situations that they created or that were brought about. Sometimes that facet of their actual physical brain motability is not actually present, which means to say you have to create the synapse pathway in order for that to be brought about. Otherwise, they simply are not going to connect, and that pathway will remain blocked to them. So it can be that you have to actually open up that pathway and really make it. It's a bit like the weeds constantly growing, you see? And what you have is instead you have to use a different implement in order to stop the weeds from growing so that they can see the pathway and it's more equally defined for them. It may be that you have to do this through a very indirect route as well. That oftentimes it is actually part of the reason why it's so useful to bring children into contact with dolphin and porpoise and those kinds of beings, quite simply because they interact on a resonant frequency with the child in such a way as to help to encourage their spirit into a further alignment with their physical state so that the synapse pathways are able to be completed. This is oftentimes the reason why it is so helpful to be able to bring this about, to assist the child in this way, to have that kind of focus, you see. And also some adults who suffer from different forms of autism can also be encouraged to have a new focus in this way too, with these kinds of beings. It's purely and simply because they resonate with the sonic vibrations that actually allow this complete realignment, and also to do with their habitual states as well. The fact that they are such giving beings, you see, that also helps for that alignment process. But it's partly why I'm saying that you need to improve the condition and the quality and the way in which you encourage the spirit to come in, really to complete the vibration, and also to realign that person's spirit and the quality so that they move into the physical body dimension completely. And that's part of the situation, the state that you have to look at as to when you are trying to deal with autistic children is you have to really think the way that they do, which is laterally to you. It's not just that you're thinking in the way that you have been trained to think. It's that, unfortunately, in the physical world, people tend to think only in a three-dimensional way, rather than including the dimension that the child is coming from. That's what you have to learn.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. it's interesting that coming from another dimension that we try to forget as soon as we're born, that's an important part of who we are.
So you can see how, by reflecting this kind of understanding, it means to say that you actually begin to understand the bigger picture of where an autistic child is coming from. It might be that that whole part of their dimension of thinking actually broadly rests within a completely different dimension, and they just don't relate to your physical side of life. However, you need to find which is the outlet for them. It may not be something which is wholly acceptable in the physical life. So what? It doesn't really matter, as long as they have happiness and can actually function in their own life. That's the point, surely, that you need to bring about. And what I'm saying is that by restructuring your dwelling place, oftentimes it can be that you help to encourage them more fully into the dimension in which you live. It's not necessarily that you're ever going to encourage them completely. But that's not to say that they are in deficit of their life, you see. You don't need to try to force them to be always in your world. And that's really the part of the situation that people have to let go of their own thoughts and their own feelings of what they want, but instead align their thoughts and feelings to what the being really wants. I understand that some beings who are autistic in this way may actually be quite unhappy that they're not fully in and integrated into the physical world in which they're supposed to be having this physical life. And I quite understand that. However, you have to be able to understand through various communication processes and understanding and giving that this child is perhaps the only part that you're going to ever see, may be just the 10 or 15% that you do see. And that will have to make do, I'm afraid. So try not to judge everything by your normal standard of how you see life and how you see the relationships that everyone else has with another physical being. You are all different, uniquely so, and uniquely beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear friend.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your call. Lovely to hear from you again.
You're welcome. Love your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do hope that you have observed and interacted with our latest images that we have brought about.
Oh, the videos?
Yes.
I have seen a couple of them, but I just got internet recently, so there's still a couple, at least one that I need to see from your website. Thank you.
Yes. Because you've recently moved, have you not?
I have.
Yes.
And I always feel like you're with me and a lot of security and confidence wherever I go and, you know, when I work, and I always feel like you're with me, so thank you.
Yes, you are welcome, friend.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, we've sort of veered on to the situation of autism, all types of autism, and we're not just talking about... Yes, exactly. Because, really, we were talking about encouraging the spirit to be, our spirit to be within our physical body, generally everybody, and how that this can be shifted out of kilter just during our day-to-day routines and work and what's the sort of situations then that this can happen in through, shall we say?
Well, let's think. Oh, yes. So the situation then, what if you are living in a physical, you're on the physical planet and you are, perhaps you're living in the middle of a city. The whole situation of that, of li- living within the city itself is harrowing enough, perhaps. But maybe it is that you actually only have a small apartment within a very large apartment building. So you have all of these different neighbors and whatnot that you have to communicate with or that you have to try to shut out. You may have different people who are using different media devices and that kind of thing. So they're all listening to or watching or interacting with different devices all around you. And perhaps the walls are somewhat thin and you have a lot of this interaction of their lives. This is extremely difficult. And I cannot think how people in the physical world can actually live that way. And of course, it brings a great deal of distraction, both emotionally and physically, to your physical state. It's extremely difficult for you to deal with. It's almost as though you have to walk around with earplugs all day or something like that.
You mean there's incoming messages and
yes.
That sort of thing, drawing you, pushing you, pulling you, your senses one way or the other all day long?
Yes. Absolutely so. And I can see quite clearly that it's an extremely difficult situation to live in. That's actually what usually brings about depression most when people are living in these kinds of environments. It's actually to do with the different forms of pollution which then happen. That means, what is pollution? Pollution, of course, is something that you don't want entering into your physical life. So if you are dealing with your situation in your physical world, and it's to do with your immediate environment, you're trying to change it perhaps. How are you going to possibly do that if you cannot shut out the physical interactivity or pollution that you don't actually desire? It may well be that you actually have to spend some time with a pair of headphones on. I understand they actually tend to shut out the sound rather well. Not that you actually place something else within it, but you just sit and wear them just for the relief of having less sound interacting with you and polluting your environment.
So visually, audibly?
Yes. All of those senses which are being disturbed by other people's interactivity. As I say, it may be something like that which simply cannot be helped. But you have to begin to learn how to differentiate between what is a polluting environment that you cannot actually interact with, quite simply because it's happening anyway, in spite of yourself, in spite of whatever you do to it. It's still there, chattering away, or it's the sounds of traffic moving past your window or something like that. It may well be that even the sounds of traffic you actually have a great difficulty in moving away from, purely and simply because some sounds that vehicles make actually go right through you, go right through the very fabric of the building in which you live. They vibrate the building. That's an extremely difficult thing to actually live with, to understand. And I have to say, friend, that there are a great many people at fault here for actually bringing about these kinds of worlds for people to actually physically live in, because it doesn't actually do them any good at all. And it's part of the seeds of deep depression which are brought about during these kinds of situations. I understand that in some countries there are so many people that they even have to live in small little confined spaces, and they have to share those spaces with many others.
So it's a combination. It's overloading the senses, basically.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, and in that case, you are going to end up with very, very unhappy people. People who cannot cope with situations, and these create stress. It's exactly the same as if you have a different situation than considering animal husbandry, as you have an immense amount of people, or chickens. There you are. There's a simple situation. You have 100,000 chickens in one building.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you are going to create, apart from a lot of mess and a lot of noise, and also a lot of various chemicals which are quite unpleasant, purely and simply because they're breathing and they're excreting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Different forms of gases as well as physical solids. So all of this is going to interact with those beings and make them feel extremely unhappy. If you take, we'll say, 10 of those chickens and remove them from that environment and put them into a house, a small house, which is actually in a large field, you would sit there for a full day, most probably, waiting for those chickens to come out, even if their door was wide open, purely and simply because they would be so afraid. And they are so afraid, quite simply, because they have maybe become so used to that environment, and it might be that their state of consciousness is not able to accept the tranquility of something else. And that's exactly the same as people who oftentimes, perhaps if they live in a city environment, how are they going to cope if they're taken and removed to somewhere outside? It is actually the same situation that happened in reverse in my day. People were beginning to move into the cities, as oftentimes that would happen, particularly in times of famine or whatever. People would automatically move to centers of population in order to look for help to try to survive. And oftentimes it can be not just a physical state, but something which the person desires in an emotional field way, or perhaps in a way which their spirit needs to communicate with others. So you have difficult differences here which arise. The 10 chickens in the little house are quite happy, in fact, in one way, in one sense, because they're communicating in exactly the same way as they did in the large chicken house with 100,000 of them. They didn't understand that that was what they were doing, although part of what their understanding happens to be is not something that is correlated or brought about in the human psyche or mind. That's because, purely and simply, people don't think chicken. Otherwise, they wouldn't actually put them together in that mass.
Okay, well, we have to live in the cities, or work in the cities, go to the cities daily to actually survive,
yes.
Unfortunately.
I understand.
And actually, there are a lot of people actually, and I know many myself, that adore cities.
Absolutely.
City life. Even concrete buildings.
Yes, of course.
You know, there are. And presumably people who live in the country have also psychological problems, but for different reasons.
Yes, absolutely so. So I'm not saying that one is inherent within the other. I'm just saying that, of course, as we continue to express in this situation of communication that we bring about, everyone is different, and otherwise you would not have situations of the sequences that you have prevalent at this time.
Well, it just goes to show you how important the situation of your home and your home environment is for you to come home to, basically,
yes. And
for healing.
Yes, absolutely so. So if you can possibly change it, then you need to do that. You need to change it into such a way that it is suitable for you, regardless of how someone else feels or originates with that within that. And it may well be that you live in an absolute pigsty, and that the way that you order your life is something that other people would say that you are not coping with. But it may well be that that's something that you're perfectly happy doing. So anyway, I detract from the point of this.
Yes, but actually, can I just say before we actually go back
move
on
away,
track,
yes.
That it was interesting for those that didn't hear it last week that you were talking actually about, you were actually talking about older people and dementia and that sort of thing, and
yes.
How busy wallpaper, busy carpets, you know, patterns,
yes.
Very highly patterned curtains and furniture, furnishings, and all that busyness is actually not good for the mind of these people. So presumably that goes with everybody. And
well, yes.
Nope.
And
no.
Yep. And, well, simply because of the fact that some people actually like to have the attention, and they like to have something which is drawing their attention continually. For some people in spirit, even having a physical existence, or just some people who have a certain way of their self-structure, that means to say that their alignment needs to be constantly active. That means to say then that they have their attention completely and positively focused all of the time. It may well be that they have these busy wallpapers or whatever, and that that's something that they're perfectly happy with. However, it's oftentimes can be something that's uniquely destructive as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure people, our listeners, can associate with this, you know, going into somewhere and saying, oh, blimey, I've got to get out of here because this is just all too much. Overloading the senses, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
And if that house, that home, that place is actually untidy and cluttered with all sorts of other things as well everywhere, strewn about the place, then that is really overload, isn't it?
Yes, quite so. So if you look at it in an anthroposophical way, you are actually taking an environment and you are trying to change that. You are trying to change the level of input that you bring into it. That doesn't mean to say that you change everything about that level of input, because it may well be that you actually have to suit your environment specifically to you. And that's part of the condition that you're looking at here, because within one family, you may have a lot of different people. Shall we say it's a family of five, and five people, or four people out of those five, have a certain vibration that they're able to cope with various patterns or whatever, but the one isn't able to do that. And you actually find that the one child maybe responds completely differently. And actually, you find that that child maybe even becomes violent or something like that. And oftentimes it can simply be purely because of their environment. Their room's the wrong color, wrong shape, wrong shade. It doesn't have enough of the physical world within it, perhaps to do with simple things like actual organic plants or different situations. Maybe the whole room temperature is completely set wrong. I'm not talking about the physical body temperature. I'm talking about the actual temperature of the colors within the room itself. And oftentimes it can be, for example, that a child who is extremely angry needs to be brought back into a womb-like environment in order to change the temperament. But sometimes it may well be that that child just explodes completely in that sort of womb-like environment, and that they don't want to have anything to do with it at all. But that's actually because of the anger and resentment that the physical being may have of actually being drawn into that contact.
Because it feels uncomfortable to
because
them,
feels,
alien to them.
Yes.
But it wouldn't only be the one cure, would it? So that would it, something like this would be the holistic approach that we're talking about.
Yes.
That everybody can create for themselves. It wouldn't just be the colour of the room. It would be all of the other things as well that would have to be changed.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. But I'm saying, though, that this is how you can deal with it in a management way, I suppose, of actually dealing with a particular child who is experiencing specific difficulties. Oftentimes it can be that disturbances are created just through the fact that there are manipulations happening within the physical life journey or voyage which are destabilizing that spirit's physical journey. And their physical overreaction is really just in a state of trying to overcompensate for what is actually happening and what their judgment and decision-making are creating in their physical world. It's not the same as yours. It isn't in the same level. No. You have to be careful about how you use level and whether it's something that you are then condoning or whether it's something that you are admitting to. Are you actually drawing the psyche into this state of being level? Or is it that you are making this decision upon someone else's journey that reflects that you feel that they are lesser or worth less than you are? You have to then be careful of how you make judgment and decisions during your life when you are interacting with someone in this way, because it's clearly a very volatile state. Now, oftentimes it can be as said as well, bearing in mind that these are all situations of the same symptomatic. You may have people who come back from certain difficulties within their life. Maybe they've suffered some kind of traumatic experience. Should we say this? That we have a person who, for want of a better reason, has actually interacted perhaps in one event in their life. Maybe it was a motor vehicle accident. Maybe it was that it's a soldier who was sent off to war or something like that. And they've had an interactive experience during that time which has actually left them completely unable to cope. Maybe it was a condition of their multifaceted chemical interaction that happened to them during that time of their traumatic event that's completely upset the alignment of their spirit with their physical state. So there it is then. You have a being who perhaps then from that point onward is on some kind of psychotic medication or something like that. And what you're then dealing with is a situation that you're trying to hold. You're trying to contain it within a certain volition and not allow it to escape, not allow the upset balance to then interact with the physical world in a violent way or in a volatile way that could then be dangerous either to the one being or to other beings around them. You're actually dealing here with a very difficult set of circumstances which are being revealed in a physical, metabolic way, in a cell structure, in a way of cell structure that enables that being to either look and focus and understand within a certain specific way or not. And you're dealing, in fact, then with a certain set of psychoses which are revealed through behavior patterns. What you need to instead look at is not just in placating the physical being and just keeping it under wraps through medication, but rather to look at the whole unraveling of the journey and how you recompensate that being for allowing them to actually once again become more better aligned with their physical state. So you're having to re-encourage that spirit into the physical body presence and being able to bring about certain different kinds of alignment within voice pattern training, within certain kinds of alignment to do with perhaps how they actually feel, to do with specific environments and that kind of thing. It may oftentimes be just simple environments which set someone off. People oftentimes in these kinds of conditions generally turn to drink or alcohol or some other chemical addiction. And it's usually to try to offset this kind of environmental change and damage that has occurred purely and simply because they understand their spirits out of kilter, and part of their anger or resentment or situation or build-up, which happens usually in a cyclical event because it's tied to the moon or some other planetary behavior or movement, it's oftentimes because of these different magnetic forces which are then inspirational or creating mayhem within the physical life that create this divergent pattern.
Post-traumatic stress and
yes,
that sort of thing that you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, we've only got a minute left. But it's
yes.
Interesting to know. It's interesting, you see, how we are so concerned about the colours and ambience of a newborn baby's room and
yes.
You know, really creating this wonderful, perfect, you know, I mean, so concerned about it. And then everything goes out the window, really.
Straight out the window at the age of two or three.
Yeah, but,
it's all gone.
Yes, but I'd like to talk about that. Well, next week we can start talking about and about how actually maybe for those with the post-traumatic stress situation going on in their lives, that how maybe this sort of thing could be something that could be incorporated to help them as well. I mean, maybe we should just go back to basics with this situation, with these people as well.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Oftentimes, you see the triggering mechanisms which continue in their life are usually centered around the traumatic express train that they were interacting with at the time when it created the mayhem in their consciousness and then caused the derailment of the faculties of their thinking.
We're sort of making our homes a healing environment, really, for the mind, body and spirit is actually going a lot further than I think we realised when we started doing this series.
Quite so. And oftentimes certain colours and specific colours will have a dramatic effect upon this as well.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Because they're interactive triggers too, you see.
Yes, and I know we talked about colours last week, but we'll be going into that in more depth, I think, next week.
Yes.
Thank you, Gregory. Fascinating.
Yes, it's an absolute minefield, I know, but one that we need to unravel, you see.
And is very helpful.
Yes.
For all sorts of reasons. Okay.
So with love and light,
thank
my
you.
Dear friend. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for your phone call, John. And I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us, or maybe book yourself an occasional reading, or whatever it is that you want to do. You can see Gregory in action on our website, on the videos, or on YouTube. And we hope that you benefit from the education and the information that the Spirit World, the Spirit Team, bring. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.